Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful, excited Saturday night, and it is October the 2nd of the year of our Lord 2021, and this is your friend Usama from Missouri. I was going to say Wisconsin. I was in Wisconsin, but no longer. And with us tonight, as usual, our producer and co-host, Christy Johnston from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Well, Usama, I'm doing great. And I had a wonderful chance to visit with a special guest we're having tonight. Also, for everybody who's waiting, we're going to introduce a little bit later in the program Usama's new book, and it's going to be a great program. So my visit with Dr. John Witcher, he is a physician here in Mississippi. And, you know, one of the things that many people are troubled about and worried about is the mandates on vaccines. We know there are a lot of problems that have been associated with the vaccine, but the problem is we're not giving everyone the option to say, I don't want to take it. People who have natural immunity, feel that they don't need to take it, like myself. I had it, and I don't believe I need to take it. But Dr. John Witcher is going to share with us a little bit about actions and what some doctors think about this, because not every doctor has the same opinion. So
you're right, Christy. You're absolutely right. You know, to me, as a minister who have nothing, I don't have too much knowledge about any vaccines or any viruses, period. So I'm not, I'm a guy in the theology field, not in the medical field. But from outsider, a man who, I praise God, I'm healthy and I've never been sick. I didn't even get cold like people do every year. And I'm 51, about 52 coming up. But the way I see the liberal demanding and forcing that vaccination on people, this itself, to me, if everything else is great, and because of their demanding and forcing it on people, that is a big, huge red flag, bigger than China. So that alone makes me wonder, why in the world they're trying to do that? I mean, we got many diseases in the past, worse virus than corona, as far as I know with my limited knowledge. Maybe when we have our doctor, Brother John, will share with us, he maybe correct me if I'm wrong. But we never forced vaccination on people, the healthy and the not healthy, the one who have natural immune and the one who may be very old, and if he gets the virus, he will die with it. Why we're forcing and treating all people like if we're all one stamp, one size, one shape, that does not sound right to me medically. That's why I believe there's something wrong, and I hope and pray that Dr. Witcher will be sharing with us about that. But I have to ask you a very important question. Is our guest supposed to be with us 9 o'clock Central Time or 9 o'clock Eastern Time?
Well, our guest is with us right now.
What time he's located? Yeah.
He's in the same time zone as me. He's in Mississippi.
Okay. So, all right. So it is his right time to join us, because I don't know where Dr. Watcher is located. So we're good.
Right.
Go ahead.
I do need to tell people, because they may have comments or questions for Dr. John, and I don't know how long he can stay with us, but I want to give our number out for people who may want to call in and ask a question. Now, for those of you that are listening online, you might want to call in or come into the chat room, but the phone number to call in is 319-527-6706. I'm going to say it again slow, 319-527-6706. 6706. Now, when you call in, if you want to make a comment or you have a question for Dr. John, please hit the number 1, because that will put you at the top of my list, because we have a lot of listeners online, and that'll move you to the top so I can see you actually have a question. So with that, are we ready to have John come in and begin sharing and
Absolutely.
Introduce himself?
You know, yeah, I was going to tell you, Chris, the best way with all the interviews I have done is I let the host will give me just a minute or so to introduce myself, because whenever I have done any interviews, they always introduce me by wrong information. You saw my doctor used to be a terrorist. You saw my doctor used to be a Muslim. And now he's a Christian all the way from Egypt. Talking with us, no, I'm not in Egypt. I'm in Missouri. And I was never a Muslim, and I was never a terrorist. So anyway, the best way, let Dr. John Witcher introduce himself, because I believe he knows himself better than I or you know him. So, Dr. John, hello to you, and I'm glad that you are with us tonight. And please feel free to elaborate on whatever you want to talk about. First, we want to know who you are.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on your show. My name is Dr. John Witcher. I'm 55 years old. I was born and raised in Mississippi. I was raised on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. My mother and father are from the northern part of the state. I've been practicing medicine since 1996 here in Mississippi. I practice in rural Mississippi, so in smaller hospitals, in rural areas. I'm a general practitioner, and I specialize mostly in ERs, and that would be a small ER with one doctor and two or three nurses out amongst the rural areas. I'm currently at a hospital where there's about 24 hospitals located in Mississippi, about 11 of them, and the other ones are located in Tennessee and Arkansas. I'm the ER medical director there, and basically, you know, I've been dealing with COVID since day one. We've had we're a small hospital. We don't have an intensive care unit, but we have about 9 beds that are dedicated to COVID patients, and so we, you know, back in the first of the year, in the wintertime, January or so, we had those beds full. Then the Delta variant here, we got up to about 7 beds and the maximum running. We currently have no patients in the hospital with COVID. It's over now. I mean, the Delta variant's over here in our area. So basically, and I've also treated in the ER, the patients come in and we'll treat them as outpatients. So I've treated hundreds of patients as inpatients and hundreds as outpatients, so probably in the thousands. So I'm very familiar with COVID, and you know, it's as things progress. You know, I was hoping and praying that you know, this would be a short-lived thing. I was, you know, when they made the mask mandates and the isolation and social distancing and so forth, I said, well, you know, I can do this short term, but as it kept evolving, then it's just gotten worse and worse. And so I figured at some point that they might would start mandating the vaccines, and that's what they did. And that's kind of when I got, I guess, more just basically they said, you know, if I don't get vaccinated by October the 31st, then I lose my job. So. And that's what they did across the whole hospital system I work in, 24 hospitals. They put that out. And they just followed suit with the other hospitals, a lot of other hospitals in Mississippi. And, of course, now we have industries throughout Mississippi. You know, that Biden has come out and, you know, said to all employers that have more than 100 employees should be vaccinated. And a lot of our industries around Mississippi are going ahead and even though that's not been fully approved, you know, for example, Ingalls Shipbuilding down the coast, they do a lot of government work. And so I think companies like those are going ahead and just going ahead and mandating up front. So it's just a significant situation here in Mississippi. Of course, our governor has spoken out nationally against Biden and his mandates. You know, he's saying he's going to sue Biden with some other Republican governors, which is ironic because right here in the state of Mississippi, our state health officer, Dr. Dobbs, he is very much pushing the Biden agenda. You know, whatever the CDC says, he's right on board with it. So he is going so that our governor is having a very difficult, basically Dr. Dobbs has a lot of colleagues. It's very, they're all just, it's a leadership of the medical community. Many of them, most of them are state employees, and so they fall under, they're basically just pushing the whole agenda of the federal government. And they're mandating vaccines. And, I started a group called Mississippi Against Mandates. My wife and I actually started, and just because, you know, we just felt like we were called to do it, really. I mean, my wife and I are both devout, faithful Christians that are very active in our church. And so we've been praying diligently, you know, since COVID started. I mean, it's just... You know, to us, it seems like it's just been a battle against good and evil. You know, the whole separation, the mask mandates, the isolation, there's so much harm done to society, to children. So that's how we got started, and that was about a month ago, and now we have about 20 doctors with us all across Mississippi, and so that's kind of where. So now we're just we're holding rallies and basically just bringing concerned citizens together, healthcare workers. You know, this start we're healthcare workers, and so people will say that all doctors and nurses, most all of them, have been vaccinated. And that's just not true. It's probably about 50-50, 50% vaccinated, 50% unvaccinated. We just want to speak out. Our biggest thing is, our Dr. Dobbs is pushing the vaccines is safe, okay? He came out with a mandate the early September that he wanted all pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers to be vaccinated. And his rationale was that the COVID vaccines are safe during pregnancy and lactation. Well, there's many reports out there and papers that disagree with that. If you go to the CDC's own website, the VAERS, which is a reporting system that's been in existence since 1990, but currently it has reported over 16,000 deaths associated with the COVID vaccines. And that's, a lot of people think that's only reports about 1%, so that could be as many as, 160,000 deaths from the COVID vaccines. So we want to be able to tell our patients and the public about the risk before they, if they want to take the vaccine, then that's their choice. But we want them to know the risk involved before they make that decision. Because, many people are just going down to Walmart or to a booth somewhere, and they're not giving them any information on the vaccines. They're just saying, asking which arm do they want the vaccine in. And so we don't feel that's the right medicine.
Before we lose this point, Doctor, I'd like to share this, and you correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. Whatever I say tonight is not accurate. Feel free to correct me. When the COVID-19 problem started in America, literally, they make everybody who died with no matter what was the case. I mean, I'm not kidding you. Some people die in a car accident, and when they test them, they found that they have COVID. They said, they died by COVID. So everybody who died before the vaccination, they died with COVID-19. Now, every person who died after vaccination, they will try to find some other disease which causes the death, not the vaccine. Am I right in that, or am I making up?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I've never heard anybody say it just like that, but that's correct. I mean, before the vaccines, yeah, everybody died with COVID and or of COVID. But, you know, in actuality, the people that were dying, for the most part, you know, they were dying with COVID. And the people that I saw die, I mean, they had a lot of other underlying illnesses. And so, you know, many of them were at the end of life, you know, came from the nursing homes, already bedridden, you know, they were probably going to expire within the next month or two of some illness. And so, so, and then now, you know, with the vaccinations, then nobody dies. you know, they count, you know, if you're not fully vaccinated, like if you die, most people that take the vaccines from the reports we're seeing die within 24 hours to a week. All right. The CDC doesn't count you fully vaccinated until after 2 weeks. So a lot of these people that are dying, don't even include them as being vaccinated.
That is crazy. Yeah. You know, you brought up a point too, Doctor, and again, I don't want to interrupt you, but I really, you make such a good point. You go to Walmart, okay, or you go to Walgreens, and they're making announcements. Come and get your sale on a vaccine. It's like, you know, they used to have the Kmart blue light specials, and people go up there, and they have a place you can sit after you have the vaccination. But, are these people getting medical follow-up? Are they just there on a lark and, oh, well, I might as well get the vaccine while I'm here shopping at Walmart?
That's a big problem, you know, because we're not going to be able to track these people when they have side effects or adverse events because, you know, there's no medical chart on them. You know, so that's another reason we feel like, you know, you need to go to your primary care doctor and discuss the risk associated with them before you, you know, decide to take the vaccine. And then, you know, and if you do take it and you have side effects, then you have your doctor to go back to and talk to and, you know, follow continuation of care.
At least your primary doctor knows about your condition, your height, your weight, your blood pressure, high and low. Any other sicknesses, any other problem you have. I mean, how in the world you can follow on those people if something bad, for God's sake, happened to them if you just go to Walmart to buy some milk and get the vaccination and leave with your milk and your vaccination? Does this make any sense?
Doesn't make any sense. And, you know, it's the same thing. It doesn't make any sense that your state health officer who is a government, works for the state. He's a state employee. And so state employees have what we call sovereign immunity. They have no, even though he's a physician and he has a medical license, he has no liability to the public. No attorney, I mean, in their right mind would try to sue him because, you know, or federal government, they just stack the lawyers up and it's just not feasible. So he basically has sovereign immunity. So he can say anything he wants and he's not responsible. Whereas your local doctor, you know, they have malpractice. And not only are they legally binding to the patient, but ethnically, morally, you know, they want to do the right thing by their patients. So maybe there's some doctors out there right now that haven't really researched this real well. You know, they haven't gone and looked at the VARs. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even know the VARs existed until recently. I mean, I don't necessarily give vaccines in the ER or in a setting. You know, usually pediatricians give most vaccines, but I didn't know it even existed. And so, you know, I'm sure many physicians are in that same boat, but if they were to be liable, you know, and have to actually talk with their patients before giving this vaccine, then they would do the research and they would figure out the risk involved. And I mean, there's all sorts of reports from all over the world. And not only that, but I mean, just people coming forward, making videos. I mean, when we started this and I started networking with these other doctors around Mississippi, we were all seeing the same things. I mean, we're actually seeing it on the ground. We're seeing people that are that shouldn't be having strokes. They don't have any risk factors for strokes. They're young, healthy otherwise, and they're having strokes. We're seeing all sorts of neurological problems, Guillain-Barré syndrome. And, you know, now some of these are reported actually on the CDC, like myocarditis. I mean, it's a fact that that's a risk factor for especially young males, but they don't tell anybody that. You know, that's not reported. Same way with Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's listed on the CDC website as a side effect, but once again, our state health officer, he never mentions any of that. He always just I've watched them time and time again, him and his colleagues. I mean, they'll just say the vaccines are safe, effective, and free. They like to throw in that last one, free.
Oh,
wow.
Doctor, more than just free. I don't know what state exactly. They're actually making a lottery ticket. You can win $1 million. One of the people who takes the vaccine maybe win $1 million. So they make a lottery winning $1 million if you get vaccinated in that state. But yeah. I have a good question for you, Doctor, and you tell me if I'm getting the information right here as well. When I watch news at night and I watch TV at night, you get this weird commercial where they ask you, have you, you or loved one died with this medicine or that medicine? Johnson & Johnson made some cream or made some milk for babies, which causes this disease. And if you are or your loved one have been affected with this, we got $30 billion or $300 million set aside for people who got hurt by that disease. Call us now, 800, and they are going to be the lawyer to represent these people. Now, do we have this option with the vaccination?
Absolutely not. And that's, you know, it's under experimental use authorization, okay? So really, and that's what it gets back to, you know, having informed consent. There's a packet these people are supposed to get when you take the shot. And in there it says it's experimental use authorization. It's not FDA approved at all. You know, Pfizer, you know, the national media and Biden's White House said that Pfizer vaccine is FDA approved. That was a lie. FDA, it's approved, but it's not in this country. They don't even manufacture that particular medicine in this country, okay? So you can't,
wow.
Nobody's getting the FDA-approved medicine in this country. Now, if it was FDA-approved, a lawyer could sue the pharmaceutical company, but it has to be FDA-approved. Nothing in this country is FDA-approved. So nobody's liable. You can't hold any pharmacist, any pharmaceutical companies liable. You can't. The government actually, there's something that the government has set aside, and it's in these papers that you read. You're supposed to read when you take these vaccines. Number one, it's supposed to be a choice. Okay, they cannot mandate an emergency use authorization drug, but they have. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, it says specifically in there. The only people, there's no liability. What happens if you're injured or you think you're injured, you send it, bring it before the CDC and the FDA, and they have a board, a council that gets together, and they determine whether your case is valid or not, okay? And then if it's valid, then you get to, then they hear it out in their system. So it's, you know, I mean, there's basically nobody held liable.
That's a lot you have to do if you're dead, or if you're so seriously ill, you can't do anything. This is
right.
Just,
that's right.
Man, I have a friend, she's on the, she's listening right now, and she shared with me about someone within their connections in the family that worked with a woman who got the vaccination, a teller at the bank, and she was, shortly after getting the vaccination, she was there at the bank working, and she dropped over and died of a stroke. Not an old person, a younger, middle-aged person. And but you know, if she just got the vaccine a couple of days before, I guess they'd just say she died of a stroke, but it wasn't related to the vaccination. Is that, you know, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, 100% that it's caused from the vaccine. But, you know, if you see enough cases of the same thing, then at some point you would have to conclude that that's the case. But yeah, we're seeing that. I mean, I have there's an interventional radiologist that's in our group that joined, and I was talking to him today, and he said that he's seen several young people that had these big strokes. He goes in and does and they've had the vaccine recently, and these are people that he would not normally see having strokes. Someone else had mentioned today, I think it was on our chat, that they work in a rehabilitation center where they rehabilitate stroke victims, and they said they've never seen in the last several months or year, I guess it was, that so many strokes in young people.
Wow.
And I was at work yesterday and the vaccine was brought up to a I don't know how the subject came up, but I asked the lady if she was going to get vaccinated, and she said, "No, I'm not getting vaccinated." And I said, "Well, why not?" She said, "Well, my cousin got vaccinated, and she died like 2 days later, and she was 9 months pregnant." And so, actually, I went back and looked that up, and I remember that. That was in July. Her husband, she started having problems. He put her in the car to rush her to the hospital, and they never made it. You know, by the time they made it to the hospital, she had expired, and her baby as well. Well, this cousin said they did an autopsy on her, and which I didn't know she was vaccinated. I didn't find this out till, like I said, yesterday. Her cousin said they did an autopsy, and she had a stroke. And this was a 30-something-year-old woman. So I mean, I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing blood clots, you know, whether it be strokes or micro
clots. The blood
clots
is it. Yeah, doctor, I have a friend of mine in Albuquerque. His father-in-law, mother-in-law, they took the shot at the same time. The father-in-law have clot on his left leg. The mother-in-law have a clot on her right arm. And it is very bad. It is just happened a few days after taking the first shot. And I don't think this is coincidence that people take the shot in the same thing and they have two clockish in different places in their body. There is many, many reports about that all over the world, not just in America.
Yeah. And this is predictable. You know, a lot of scientists around the world, you know, they spoke out early on this because, you know, they did animal studies with these type vaccines in the early 2000s, and most all the animals died, and they died of clotting problems.
Goodness. Well, doctor, I know I don't. We could talk to you for so long, and I know your time is precious and limited, but would you kind of share about this group and what you're doing and what maybe other people might want to imitate? You know, we always hear that. In fact, I have a recording of a news story where they're talking about in Mississippi, the doctors are seeing all these people come in and dying from using ivermectin, and they're all dying of that. I mean, and then they had to come out and say, oh, that story wasn't true. They had to retract it. You know, here we are in Mississippi, and everybody wants to, you know, say – negative things about us, but what are you doing, and what can maybe some other doctors get involved with? That would be awesome if you can share that with us.
Yeah. What you were talking about there on the ivermectin, I just want to add, Dr. Dobbs, he made it all the way to the headline news in the country by saying that we were using horse medicine here in Mississippi, and they were, you know, they were. We were killing ourselves, and he quoted on local news that 70% of all the calls coming into the toxicology center there at UMC was due to overdoses of ivermectin. Well, they came out the next day and had to correct that story. It was only like 2%. People were calling in about ivermectin, but they wanted to know the dose to so they could give themselves. You know, they were buying it from the tractor supply store, and they just wanted to, they would call the toxicology line to get the dosage. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, early on I was using, everybody I think was using hydroxychloroquine in the hospital setting. It was, of course, then when Trump came out and said he used it or he was given it, then they, you know, everything stopped. And they had a study come out in the Lancet, which is a very prestigious medical journal, and it came out and said it was just totally, you can't use hydroxychloroquine because of X, Y, and Z. Well, turns out they came back and corrected the story later and said that, you know, that was not the case. Well, it never made it to the headline news. The pharmacists took it out of our hospital system. I mean, they took it off the formulary, so we couldn't use it after that. So, of course, then they switched over to remdesivir, getting that from the government. It's $3,000 a shot.
And so, oh, man.
That's kind of the route they went. But, as far as, you know, what we kind of look at, I mean, the reason we got started was simply, you know, the reason I got started was, like I told you, the vaccine mandates affected me, and I just didn't feel like, you know, I haven't gotten COVID. I've been face to face with COVID, the Delta variant, you know, just right there with people, very infectious, right there with them. I haven't gotten it, so I feel like I have natural immunity, and natural immunity is a real thing. I mean, there's studies that have been done in Israel that somebody with natural immunity is, some studies say 13, others I've heard 27 times better than the vaccine. And so, you know, that's, I don't believe I need it, number one. Number two, I've seen where patients have gotten the vaccine, one shot of the vaccine, come in contact with the COVID, and then suddenly develop massive blood clots in the lungs. So I'm concerned. You know, I don't want it. I mean, I don't believe I need it. And that's how a lot of these nurses and doctors feel, that have been fighting this thing from day one. I mean, some of those people have had it. Some people I work with have had it. And a few of them even had to go in our hospital, but everybody recovered. You know, nobody, of course, we're all most young, healthy, middle-aged, whatever, but we just don't feel like the risk of getting the vaccine is plausible. So that's really what, you know, all of us doctors that together, and of course, we have nurses and many other healthcare workers, and then just we have people from the public. We started a Telegram page, and I don't know, I think we have over 1,000 people on there now, and so that's the main way I communicate with the group. We're all over Mississippi, and pretty much the thing in common is, you know, like all the doctors that are with, none of them have taken the vaccine, and they're not planning on taking the vaccine. And so,
Doctor, I have a question for you before I lose a question in my head here. If a person is vaccinated by the first shot, what will you advise be, and I'm not going to hold you to it, but will he or she take the second shot, or they just drop the second shot and let it go with that?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people in that category, okay? I mean, I work with a lot of those. I've had several people I work with have taken the first shot, and because a couple of them had COVID last year, okay? They took the vaccine, the first shot, and they got so much sicker than when they had the COVID. They said, "I'm done. I'm not getting the second shot." So, you know, as far as now what happens, who knows? Nobody knows what happens to the short long term effects. They haven't done any studies. They don't really even know how long, if the shot does work and keeps you from getting COVID, which, you know, They first said that was going to be it. You take the shot, you won't get COVID. But then when they found out that didn't, that they couldn't cover that up anymore, they said, well, if you take the vaccine, then you won't have to go in the hospital. Well, they covered that up for a while until they couldn't cover it up anymore. Then they said, well, if you take the vaccine, you won't get real sick. You won't have to go in the ICU again. Well, finally couldn't say that anymore. And then say, well, but if you get the vaccine, you won't die. Well, that one's been proven false too. So, now it's like, well, now you just need another booster. That's what you need. You need a booster. So
Now, I promise you, doctor, within the next couple of years, most likely we're going to go to booster number 2 and number 3 and number 4. It will be a shot every 6 months until something
absolutely.
Bad happens to this person. And
absolutely. In virologists, people that understand what this vaccine is, I'm just a real ER doctor, and I don't really know all the finer details of vaccines and whatnot, but they tell me this: it's not a vaccine; it's gene therapy, and so therefore, it's not developed. I mean, that's what it's used for. The type of gene therapies that they have developed in the past to treat diseases, and it's, you give it to it like medicine. You have to keep giving it periodically. You don't just do it once. So I think it sounds like they knew this from the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, and when I left friends, our host, she actually bought herself one of these things which she take to prevent it, which is, you talked about a minute ago, which have the horse picture on it. It's medicine for horse, I believe, whatever you call the name of it. And I was just joking with her about the side effects. She said, Usama, the side effect of this is very good. I said, like what? She said, I run around the house 5 times in the middle of the night. And when I laugh, I go, that's what happened to my voice when I laugh. And so you become like a horse. So I don't know. What is the best side effect that will come to you from the vaccination? Death. What about anything else? Well, much less. So I go with the much less. Anyway, this is just my personal opinion. Besides, if it will make me strong and I start running around my yard here, why not? It's good exercise.
Yeah.
Well, I want to quickly ask if our doctor friend is willing to answer any questions. I need to check and see if we have any callers that have a question. So 319-527-6706. If you call in, and we have many callers that are already in, if you want to talk with the doctor or ask a question or make a comment, you do have to hit 1. So I know to answer your call. I'm sorry for interrupting you, doctor, because I'm trying to be considerate of your time. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention Dr. Peter McCullough. If nobody's heard of him, please go look him up. He's out of Texas, Peter McCullough. He testified in front of the Washington, D.C. Senate last November, and from day one, he's been pushing for early intervention treatment of COVID in an effort to keep people out of the ER, out of the ICU, off the ventilator, because we know once people get put on the ventilator, that's when most, the people that die are the ones that get put on the ventilator. So what we have to do is keep them from coming to the ER. And he has, in conjunction with other doctors, a multi-drug therapy for outpatient, which, there have been some doctors in Mississippi that have been able to do that, but they have to do it under the radar, because not only is the Dr. Dobbs against ivermectin and some of these other medications, but also the pharmacy board has gotten in on the whole deal, and they won't. If a doctor writes the prescription, the pharmacist may not fill the prescription. They have that right. They've been told. So it's things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other medicines like colchicine, which is a medicine that we treat gout. But there's evidence that medicine will work. Very, very. All these are very, very cheap medicines that have been around for many, many years. Very little side effects. So, you know, so this is kind of Dr. Peter McCullough. If y'all, you know, you can look, you can find him. Just if you just search his name, he's been all over the media. He's our friend. He will be in Mississippi with us in October the 29th. But yeah,
awesome. Well, we had you actually put that video together in June, I believe, of 2020. He was putting out some videos, and we actually, Usama, you may not remember, but we played his comments, and I still have them on our audio. So, yeah, but I really liked the one that you just put out. It was really good. It's updated information, and we'll get that and post that. He's got a really good diagram explaining things, and I'm going to get that and make sure that we have it posted for our listeners.
Yeah. I have a good question here, if you don't mind. What about taking vitamins D or zinc, or what is the good things for people in whatever ages? I'm 52. I have not taken any vitamins yet, but I'm thinking about taking some vitamins. What is your advice?
My wife, she takes vitamins. She's a big vitamin person. I don't take. I just don't like to swallow pills, but as far as the COVID goes, vitamin zinc is the big one. Zinc, and then two, my wife, she's here with me to tell, she's giving me advice now. We're talking about vitamins. she's got to give me advice. Vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, and quercetin, Quercetin is if you go to Dr. Zelenko, okay. Now he's another physician in this forefront. He's promoting what he calls a Z-Stack. It's his own derivative. He is the doctor out of New York City. He's the one that treated President Trump with hydroxychloroquine. He basically invented, or he didn't invent hydroxychloroquine, but he came up. He went and did. He works up in a small community in New York City, and his patients had COVID, and he was trying to figure out what to do to treat them. And he came up. He did his own research, and he came up with, you take the zinc and you mix it with and you take hydroxychloroquine with it. What it does, zinc kills this virus on contact, so to speak. But the zinc can't get, you know, the virus goes into the cell. That's where it gets into the cell, and then it replicates inside the cell. Well, zinc will kill the virus, but it can't get into the cell. So you take the hydroxychloroquine, and it causes a chemical reaction on the cell, and then it allows the zinc to get into the cells to do the work. And so hydroxychloroquine will do that. Ivermectin does the same thing. And then because those are limited and you have to have prescriptions, he's come out with a Z-Stack that he can sell kind of over the counter, so to speak. And it's got quercetin. The way Dr. Zelenko describes it is, you know, like ivermectin would be the shotgun to open up the holes to get the zinc in, where this quercetin is kind of like a BB gun. It takes more shots to get it in, but it'll work. And so,
great information.
Dr. Zelenko. It's Zelenko. If you search him, you'll find him.
All right.
Of course, American Frontline Doctors, he's also affiliated with American Frontline Doctors. And, and that's a group that, you know, I got involved in with last year. You know, they came out, Dr. Simone Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
yes.
Her things went viral when she started, you know, they were talking about, you know, it started early. Mass mandates, you know, is kind of where they got started. But she's still in this fight, you know. She's the founder of American Frontline Doctors, and they have many doctors with them. Matter of fact, one of our doctors that's coming to speak next weekend at our rally in Jackson is with American Frontline Doctors. She's a PhD scientist. She's worked on vaccines in the past, and she'll be talking to us about the risk of these vaccines.
Usama, I have to interrupt because before Dr. John has to leave, I want to make sure people know where they can go check out their group, and it is going to be msagainstmandates.org. You know, if you're in another state and you want to see the information that they put together or contact them directly about being a doctor, standing up against mandates, that is where I think you can get information and make contact. Can they contact you, Dr. John, through the website?
Yeah, if they go to that website and just if they go to the website and email us their information and just ask, you know, if they're in another state and they want information on how to get started, I'd love to help them because, listen, that's really what this is about. The more people that will stand up, okay, and just be bold, you know, plant their feet, stand, you know, I think of my wife and I, we think of ourselves as being warriors for Christ. We're putting the full armor of God on, and part of that, you know, we just stand strong and we voice, you know, we're peaceful warriors, but we have to use our voice boldly and speak out. And so that the more people will stand and speak out, and that's not easy necessarily to stand and speak out because,
yeah,
you know, just like us here in Mississippi, the medical licensure board has threatened to take our medical license if we. They have put in a brand new policy in their policy manual that says any doctor that gives out misinformation on COVID vaccines runs the risk of the license being revoked. But they didn't
wow.
get out what misinformation was, okay?
Yeah.
So that's,
well, we have to we have to stand, you know, as Christians for what God would hold us accountable for. But you're so right. There are consequences, so you need to be bold. And I pray that more people will be bold in the Lord. And that goes for not just doctors.
Yeah,
but also
the
community.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I mean, in Revelation chapter 13, you know, I don't know, you know, all I know is that verse says you can't buy or sell to take the mark.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Hello. I mean, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but I mean, it's kind of hitting home there. You know, I mean, you can't go to work. You can't get money. Then, you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store. And, I mean, it's just getting – I mean, to me, I mean, it's – and I think that's why a lot of people around Mississippi, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, and a lot of Bible believers around here, and we're hearing the same thing from them. I mean, people – you know, we don't understand why people aren't concerned, more concerned in our churches, you know. I mean, there's folks in my church, you know, and like I said, some of my family, you know – a lot of my family, I have two children in medical school. They took the vaccine. They think it's perfectly fine. Of course, they don't, you know, they didn't know what the VAERS was, but my mother's 83. She took the vaccine, and they all seem to be doing fine. So, we go to church with a lot of people that's taking the vaccine. Some people seem to be fine with it, at least for now, but we don't know the long-term effects. But all that being said is we love everybody. You know, we love everybody. We just want to help people. That's our only goal. You know, we just want everybody to be safe and healthy.
You know what, doctor? At the beginning of this pandemic, I wear the mask because I did not know what it is. The more I learn about that this mask you put on is more harmful than helpful because you're not breathing air. You're breathing your own CO. Too, and you get sick after wearing the mask of a couple of 3 hours, you get fainted, you get weak. And I said, what is the purpose from wearing a mask if the mask does not work? So I stopped wearing the mask. Can I go to businesses and they demand me to wear a mask? And I have been so sincere, and I look at the lady and the guy and said, I'm sorry, I cannot wear a mask. I have CS. And people look at me and say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And I said, if I don't have CS, I'll be happy to wear it. And I go inside the business as I'm coming out. I meet with the same person again. And I said, do you know what CS stands for? And they said, no, I don't know. I said, common sense. So since we have common sense, let's not wear the paper mask. That's number one.
Yes.
It's a fact. It's it's a fact. And it says work all the time. And people don't know what CS is because they know nothing about anything anyway. So, but we learn a lot from you, Doctor.
I'll have to use that. Hey. I like that. I was trying to figure out what CS was. I was thinking cystic fibrosis. No, that didn't matter.
Well, we do have a caller, you guys. We got
okay,
a caller.
Get the caller in. I will hold my question to the end. Go ahead. Get the caller in.
Okay, good, because I know you've had a lot of questions. And this has been awesome, Dr. Witcher. Thank you so much. But our caller, I'm bringing you on the air. Your last three numbers on your phone are 542. And if you want, you can give me your name.
My name is Jennifer Patton, and I'm trying to pull up the group. You said it was msmandate.org?
No, it's msagainstmandate.org. Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't hear that part, I guess. Okay, against, because I was trying to pull it up and it wasn't pulling up. Mandate or mandate?
It's MS against mandate or, with the S, doctor?
Yes, .org.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I have that so I can, I guess,
If you go down on the website, there's a Telegram symbol. If you hit that, that'll take you directly to my Telegram page, which is Dr. John Witcher, MD. And that's where, the folks around Mississippi come there and we chat. We have a nightly chat at 7 p.m.
Okay, I'm adding that right now. I have Telegram.
Yes, and he's put out some great information there, and there's other people who get on that chat at 7. I was on there just 2 times, and great information on there.
That's awesome. I'll be sharing this with my family. My daughter-in-law's sister is boyfriend's mom works at the bank, and she is like a loan officer or someone that's over the bank, like she has a high position, something like that. And one of the tellers, which was young, she got the first dose of the vaccine, and then yesterday is she got, I guess, the second dose or something like that. And the ambulance had come because it happened at the job, and they said, this is the 7th one, like stroke. And they were like, what do you mean the 7th one? And so they told them that when she got the first dose that she had a mini stroke, and she's been having, I guess, the mini strokes or whatever. And then that day she had a full blown stroke and died.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just
we're
was like,
that.
Wow,
seeing,
this is insane.
Strokes is probably the biggest thing we're seeing, at least that I'm hearing as well. Brooke, my wife, she has a real good friend that works at a hospital down in Pensacola, Florida, and she had a mini stroke after the shot.
That is so
wow.
Fun.
Well, Jennifer, I know you live in Mississippi, and so I'm really thankful you're going to pass this information along, because one of the things we're hoping Friday at Fort Ingalls, there is going to be a rally to stop the mandate, because a lot of people that we know in our community work at Ingalls.
Yeah.
So Friday, I'm hoping to attend that. Yeah, I'm hoping to attend that rally. And we don't have details on it, but they will be putting that on the website, and I will be getting that information out the best I can as well.
Yeah, I would like to attend it as well.
Okay, awesome. Good for
you.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right.
And also, y'all mentioned the America's Frontline Doctors, which, I recently had found them, and I like them on Facebook, and I also follow them on Telegram. And I've posted on Facebook pictures that they posted on their page of the nurses holding up signs saying last year's heroes, this year being fired. And I was flagged by Facebook telling me that I was going against their community standards for spam.
Isn't that
something?
Oh,
yeah. If you say anything about COVID negatively, the vaccines or anything, they'll my wife stays in Facebook jail.
Yes. That's right there tells you something wrong.
Yes.
You know what, guys? You know what? I have to say this because it is in my heart for quite some time. And I want to take Dr. John or Dr. Witcher opinion about this. And I'm not joking here. Guys, this is a very serious, very strong information, very solid information. When you say anything negative about the vaccination, you are off the YouTube. What happened? If I go on YouTube and I quote Quran chapter 5 and verse 33, and I read the interpretation of all Muslim scholars, that is Ibn Kathir, Al-Tabari, and Al-Qurtubi, and Al-Jalalayn, top four Muslim scholars, where I assure the American people that Prophet Muhammad prescribed camel urine, and there are doctors all over the world today, 2021, in this month of October, sell camel urine to help and to heal the disease of coronavirus from people. As people drink camel urine according to the description of the word of Allah, Quran 5:33, and all Muslim scholars' interpretation, as Muslims believe in it to be true, and it is practiced today in the Muslim world. Do you think YouTube are going to shut me out or shut me down or cancel my topic because I'm not going to support vaccination, but I'm going to support camel urine. Drink camel urine, and it will heal your sickness of coronavirus. Do you think they're going to have the guts to shut me down because I'm speaking for Islam, for Allah, for Muhammad?
No, I think if you're speaking for Muhammad, or they probably won't. I heard there was a podcast. I was on a podcast last week, and he got banned. It was Tommy Kerrigan. He got banned. Dr. Peter McCullough came on him and just talked about vitamins to use for COVID, and he got banned for life on YouTube. And he is a person. He had terrorists coming on and talking about, you know, chopping people's heads off and this and that and everything else. Never got banned, but he had Dr. Peter McCullough on talking about taking different vitamins, and like we've been talking about tonight. And YouTube banned him. I mean, this is a young man. That was his livelihood on the YouTube, and they banned him for life.
Yep.
Well, I need to see how far I'm going to go with this.
Well, you know, we have had you now for almost an hour. It has been awesome that you've given us this time, but I don't want to leave unless I tell you, you know, we got so involved in asking questions and all, but I wanted to make sure that we gave you time to give us any comments or say anything else that you want to share tonight.
My wife said, yeah, we're having a rally at Columbus, Mississippi on Wednesday, 5 to 7. And then, of course, the Ingles will be on Friday. We don't have the exact time yet. And then we have our big rally on this next Saturday, and that's at Smith Park in Jackson, right behind the governor's mansion. And so welcome everybody. It's basically medical freedom, but we're there to stop the vaccine mandates. That's our logo, the stop sign. It says stop vaccine mandates. That's our simple message. But, you know, we also, you know, we want to talk about informed consent. We don't believe any government, CDC, Biden, or Dr. Dobbs here in the state, no government has the authority to make us get a shot. Especially when, you know, they won't tell us the risk. And so we want to have informed consent, and we want the patient to have the choice to go to their doctor, let their doctor discuss it with them, and then have true informed consent so they can make an informed decision. So that's what we're doing. And,
Amen.
I appreciate y'all letting me talk.
Absolutely. You know what, doctor? My daddy gave me advice 40 years ago when I was literally a young kid, teenagers. And he said to me, never trust anybody till you trust me. If the person is worthy of his trust, he or she will approve it in their action, not in their words. And so far, I've seen the Democrats, this pandemic created and taken out of proportion. And they did so many things wrong. Their advice contradicts itself. I mean, literally, I heard them when they say, you don't need to wear a mask. And I heard them say, wear a mask. I heard them say, wear two masks, or now wear three masks. And then I heard them say, take the first shot, as you said today, tonight, that was true. You need the second shot. You need the booster shot. You need a shot every 3 months. Just give us your arm. I heard them when they said, it's my body, and I can do whatever I want to do with it. When it comes to abortion, and now I hear him say it is your body and we have to take care of it. There's no such a thing. You control your own body. We will give you the shot, like it or not. And with all these pushing, they're losing their trust. I don't trust them. Even if what they're doing is right, I don't trust them because they're pushing it with threat and they're pushing it with reward. They're pushing it as you're getting a piece of chocolate and they're pushing it as you lose your job. It is so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. There's a lot of red flags, one of them bigger than the other, and they're all bigger than China. Therefore, I'm going to say, no, thank you. You know what? I trust in the Lord. I've been around sick people with coronavirus all year long. I traveled all over the country, spoke. I sat with people on their kitchen table for 3 days. And when they found out the day I left them that he is tested positive, they called me and apologizing, please, Osama, forgive us. I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. I'm trying to get it. And it's been over a year and a half, and I'm trying to get it, and I never got it. Never wear a mask, but I found out it was a joke. And it's all this time. I'm still healthy and strong. And if the Lord wants to take me home to eternity by coronavirus, I am ready to go and see my Lord in any time. So I appreciate you, doctor. Appreciate your time. Thanks for all the advice you've given us. Thanks for we're hoping to get 30 minutes out of your time, and we are into the longer time of an hour. God bless you. Appreciate you and your beloved wife. We will be praying for you that the Lord will keep protecting you, that you will not get sick, that the Lord can continue to use you not only to heal people or help people to get out of this crisis, but to speak the truth boldly. And we pray that the Lord will protect you, that you will not lose your job, but he will honor your sacrifices and you're willing to stand up to speak the truth, because we got so many hard ministers in churches will not speak the truth when it comes to these issues. But I praise God for you, and I thank you again. Thank you, brother.
And I thank you guys and for your ministry. You know, I believe what you guys are doing is right, and we're 100% behind you, my wife and I. We have not listened to you in the past, but we're going to start listening to you. And we do know the harms that Islam is. We do not believe that they're a peaceful religion, by no means. And my wife here, I want Brooke to say, she wants to say something.
I have come to learn. Hi, y'all. This is Brooke Witcher, and I've just enjoyed listening to the program tonight. And I have been following David Wood with Act 17. He's inflammatory, maybe, you know, through comedy or whatever, just his personality. I've learned a lot of things that I didn't know, and so I think educating people is huge. And the more we all join together to do that, I think the more people will come to know the truth and be let out of that terrible darkness.
Amen. Yeah, David Wood is a good friend of Usama's, so
we did many TV shows in the past together in different places. We spoke together before, yes, ma'am.
He's amazing. I just listen to him and laugh and just wonder what all he gets away with. The censorship on YouTube is it's a plague right now, and I know he's had to deal with a lot of that, and that's been a challenge.
Oh yes, we have been blessed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. And it's
let me put it
awesome.
This way: if you heard any joke from David Wood, most likely he learned it from me.
Oh, I'm going to keep that in mind. I'll remember that. knows how. I love it when he makes the holy Qurans, when he drills a great big hole in the middle of them. That's really good.
He learned that from Usama. All day he learned it together.
Seriously, I talked about that. I'm not kidding you. Christy is my witness here. I talked about Holy Quran a good 10 years ago, maybe 5 years before David mentioned it, and I believe you heard it from me. This is not a joke, because when I translated the Quran accurately, I put the real name on the outside of the Quran, which is the generous Quran. So it's the only copy, if you go to my website, you're going to see it. It's the only copy that has the real name, the generous Quran, and each and every one of them call a different name. So some call the Quran the glorious Quran, some call it the final testament, some call it, most of them call it the holy Quran. And I made that statement 20 years ago or so when I started this ministry. And I said, you cannot call the Quran holy unless you punch a hole in every copy. Because that's not a holy book. The teaching is unholy. And my new book, which just came out this week, is called Revealing the Truth About Jihad, Volume 2, Unholy War, because it's built and account out from the unholy Quran.
Demonic war, more like it. It's something else. It's something else. We just have to continue to bring the truth and tell the truth. You know, they're just forbidden to speak the truth about his character, what he did, how he treated people.
It's evil. You know what's amazing? Sister, we live in the world today where we know for sure we're fulfilling almost everything the scripture foretold. The Bible said, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And in America, since I came to this country now for 30 years, I am shocked, because that words of Jesus is fact today. Everything in America have a good title, a good name, most likely it's evil. And everything is it's good to give bad evil. Think about anti-abortion. I said, why are you calling anti-abortion? Why can't you call it pro-life? No, because we don't want to support that. Or I remember first time when Vic and I talked parenthood, and I said, honey, this sounds like a great ministry. She said, what? I said, Planned Parenthood. She said, do you know what you're talking about? I said, yeah, Planned Parenthood. They help parents to start having the study for having babies. She said, no, Planned Parenthood is abortion clinic. They're killing babies. I said, how in the world do you call killing a baby Planned Parenthood?
I agree. It's everything is upside down. That's like saying the National Intelligence or the Federal Bureau of Investigation is the Federal Bureau of Instigation. Everything is upside down right now. Yeah. Everything. It's,
wow.
It's 1984, the book 1984.
Yes.
Yeah. And about David Lynch, you can tell him this. Tell him that he's my very favorite psychopath.
David will love that.
I will mention that. I truly will.
My favorite one I've ever met.
Good. Yeah.
Well,
I'm
just saying, I think we've made some great friends tonight, as well as got great information, Usama. What do you think?
Absolutely. I love this doctor and his wonderful, lovely wife. They're wonderful people. And I hope and I pray you can get some information from them later, if you don't mind. I would like to send them my new book, Jihad in the Quran. That would be a good book for them to read, if you don't mind.
I will get all that information and we'll get that done, because I do have the phone contact and the Telegram contact. But I want to tell you also, if we get Usama to come here to Mississippi, we get him speaking in places where I'm familiar with some of the pastors, but maybe we can get him up in your area next time he's able to come.
That would be wonderful. We would love that.
I would love to. I'm speaking, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to be in Colorado Springs, and then coming to Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. So late October, I'm going to be in your area, Christy, as you know that. So,
all right.
Wonderful.
We
that
will
would
keep
be wonderful.
You posted.
Thank you so much. God bless you both.
Thank you so much, Dr. God bless you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Any other word you want to share with us, doctor, before you say goodbye?
Here he is.
Yes, I've been listening. Yes, goodbye. I appreciate y'all, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. We've been blessed. Thank you.
All right. Good, good. That's a great interview, Christy. I believe Dr. Watcher was not just accent. It was God meant it to be. There's a point in time to have him in our show. And I appreciate this wonderful opportunity to answer, hear the answer for all these questions. And I bet you there are more questions we can ask, but who knows? Maybe in the future we can have him one more time and we can dig deep into other topics. Yeah.
You know, sometimes God just sets something up, and our friend Dr. Carol also helped coordinate that. And I was so pleased, you know, when I got to talk to him. So I know we have a lot of other things to get to about your new book, and I don't want to take any more time. So one thing I want to share,
you know,
one thing.
Yeah.
We had a advertisement, or a, it wasn't really an advertisement, a short news clip, one about this I gotta look at it so I can tell you what it is, because it just blew my mind. This was a ad that came on to let people know that in one of these Fort Dix in New Jersey, they have opened up a beauty salon for Afghan women. And they said the reason they're doing this is because the Afghan women don't have anywhere they can go to just have their own space where there aren't any men. And
Christy, I'm not surprised you're telling me that. I'm not surprised at all. This is the least we're going to see out of the Afghani Muslims. And they did this, by the way. Remember when we have swimming pool in public place and they closed them 3 days for ladies alone, for Muslim ladies alone, swimming pool? It's the same thing.
Yes.
It is control freaking our country because they don't want to assimilate with us. They want to have their own community. They want to have their own coiffure. They want to have their own butcher meat. I'm going to share with you a little. You know what? Since you got there, let me get into it. I'm going to stop you. I know you may have something to share, but let me get this out of my chest because I'm going to forget.
Please let me finish the other thing. It's only a sentence. Then you can talk about this, because I do want to hear what your thoughts are on this. But here's the other part of this. A number, 700 Afghanis have already left these military bases where they were put in these military bases. 700 of them have left. Nobody knows why, but they're leaving. So there you go. You got two things to talk about.
Leaving the military to move to their own Muslim community as they will continue to have their own places. Muslims coming to America will never assimilate. Did you hear Linda Fasour last 2 years ago? I've been telling this to American people for how long? Since I came to this country, and Linda Sarsour said it wild, loud, clear, everybody can hear it. We will never assimilate with these people. We will never assimilate with the Americans. Thank you, Sister Linda Sarsour. I appreciate you because I want to hear it from you, because otherwise I'm wasting my energy. The truth is, Christy, that in Wisconsin, I was there last week. We talked about last week. Remember I told you about the man who raped a little girl and the other one was strangled a wife? Well, guess what happened this week again? I got a phone call from my friends in Wisconsin. Here is a lady wearing a hijab. Her husband is a Muslim from Afghanistan, and they pretend to be Jews traveling in this big city in Wisconsin near Wild Rose where I was, and they ask him, where can we find a kosher meat store? We are Jewish people looking for a kosher meat store. And you know what? I talked to Muhammad Amin today, and I did not really catch it as he did catch it. He said, you saw me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking for the kosher meat store because they're Jewish. They're looking for Jewish people, where the Jewish people live, where the Jewish business is.
Yes.
And I said, oh, my world, Muhammad. Oh, my world. I never thought of it that way. I thought they're Muslims pretending to be Jew because they know that they're going to eat halal food, which is killed with a sword, not with a knife, not with a bullet. To make it kosher.
and some others, you have the Muslim prayer over it. But maybe the Afghani in Wisconsin looking for where is the Jewish are so they can slaughter them for Allah. This is exactly what's
very
coming to America.
Scary. Yes. Yes,
Christy, Muhammad Amin got it on the spot. I didn't. I thought I'm becoming a naive American myself. But here's the truth. These Muslims are leaving the military bases to move to their community. And trust me, Christy, trust me. We'll have 100,000 in America. There will be 1 million within next year and a half. And you add another year, Ted, they will move from 1 million to 4 million. I said we're going to have 2 million for sure from Afghanistan. But the way it's working, the way the Democrats are doing it, for sure they are going to quadruple their number. 500,000 this year, they're going to be at 2 million next year, and 5, 6 million the following year, because each one of these 100,000 Muslim Afghani in America have at least 10 brothers and sisters. They don't use abortions. They don't have abortion clinic, and they don't use anything to stop having baby. And if a man has 3 or 4 wives, trust me, at least they have 10 children, at least. Now, they have cousins. I mean, you're talking about 40-some million in Afghanistan, another 60 million in Pakistan. There's 100 million can be moved to America in no time. And the longer we have the border open, for sure, 120 countries where people are coming from. Out of these 120 countries, we know for sure there are 50-some Muslim countries. So they come into this country legally by our tax money as refugees, or they come through the border. And the more they will come, the more they will ask for their rights. What is their rights right now? They've been practicing Sharia in America for the last 10 years since Obama came to power. They've been asking for halal food in prison, in our military bases, in our school where there are more than 4 or 5 Muslim students. They don't want to have the lunch of pork and unlawful pig meat, so they have the chicken sandwich. And now it grew, as I shared and I said before, in the large Muslim population like in Dearborn and Detroit and many Muslim communities now with the help of the coming Muslim refugees, they're actually saying, well, the chicken sandwich is much healthier than the unlawful food, so let's give all the students, Muslims and Christian alike, a chicken sandwich, halal food. What's wrong with that? It's a healthy food. It's more fruit and vegetables because it's healthy food. It's halal. And believe it or not, they're going to ask right now for having a place to fix her hair. Sweetheart, you don't have to fix your hair. After all, it's loaded with lice, and nobody see it except your husband. Why do you want to even fix your hair? Forget about fixing your hair. They're like, where you come from in Afghanistan? You don't wash your hair in Afghanistan except once every 2-3 weeks. Muslim only showers or clean once a week on Fridays. Christy, I know this because it's a fact. From Egypt, same thing. My sister used to open she have a coiffeur, a place to fix your hair. Well, guess what? There was a separate room she had against her own will for the Muslim ladies who come to fix their hair, especially when somebody have a wedding. So they fix their hair to cover them with the hijab. What is the purpose? If your husband does not like your hair under the hijab with the lice and what everything in it, don't worry about it. You don't have to. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The contradiction is an interaction. But the whole point is this, Christy. They're trying to tell us, give us the right. What is our right? Halal food. What is the right? A place to swim where there's no men around us in public swimming pool. Give us the right. What? A place to fix our hair and not open except to the Muslim ladies so no man can touch our hair and no other men can watch us when somebody working our hair. And slowly, slowly, the Sharia will creep all over America. One thing at a time, and trust me, someday you're going to have the rules of Taliban in America.
Well, again, this story was being done as it was a part of Catholic Charities ministry. And the point that I kind of want to address is that we have a very naive way of looking at things, like, okay, this is a way we can do something kind for these people, but we already know Catholic Charities receives all this money to do things such as this on the condition that they do not preach the gospel. They don't try to reach them with the gospel. So whatever you're doing, is missing the whole point of what a ministry should do. A ministry should be reaching people for Christ. You do everything in the name of Jesus. So I found that
Don't forget, it's just Catholic, Christy. It's not just Catholic. I got the Baptists in Rochester, Minnesota, who were protesting me. They are for the Muslim to come to America, for the Muslim to have their freedom, for the Muslim to practice their Islam, because both Baptist and Catholic and every other church between in these liberal churches know nothing about Jesus Christ.
Yes,
when a Baptist
minister
is married to another guy and a Lutheran lady married to another lady and a Catholic priest sleeping with little children, and they all love the Muslims. What's so amazing, they're evil, ungodly Christian people, and they all love the Muslims, and they all love to give America to the Muslims. Wow.
Well, you know, the other irony, Usama, that you've dealt with so much has been that there are Muslim groups that use these naive Christians to stand up and protest for them, just like they use the LGBTQ community of churches that support that, and they'll have them come out and protest you. The irony is that those individuals will be targeted for death by Muslims, and yet they use them. They use them. That's why you call them useful idiots. They don't understand that they are being manipulated by the very people that will pronounce death on them for being gay. This is, we know this. So it's just really sad. Usama, let's talk about your book, because we'll probably do this more than one time, but tell them about your new book that's coming out and where they can get it. And this is the second in a series that you've done. And it's so nice to know that the second book is out before Christmas. But it's been long time and a lot of work. Tell us a little bit about it.
You know, as you know, Christy, I write a book in 6 months, and it takes me a good couple of years to edit it. Because it is easy to throw some thoughts on the computer, but to fix it, to make it right, to put all the thoughts accurately, and to make sure that no Muslim will come and say you took that verse wrong or you misunderstand what Allah said here, and we have a lawsuit against you. I hold in my hand Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran. And it is amazing, because I was supposed to start with that book as I was doing my radio broadcast, Jihad in the Quran or Jihad in Islam. And the Muslims complained, and I got so many emails from them, because they said, you're talking about the killing in the Quran and you're leaving the killing in the Bible. You have no right to talk about the Quran. You misunderstand the verse of the Quran. You're not a scholar. You're not qualified to talk about jihad and war and killing in the Quran. And after all, you have the same problem in your Bible. So what we did, we stopped working on that book, and we did our first book, Volume 1, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible. Now, some Christians, when they saw the title of my book and they started reading, they said, whoa, Holy War in the Bible? Jihad in the Bible? The word jihad is never mentioned in the Bible. I said, you're wrong. Because the word jihad means war. And when I open the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, I see war. I see killing. I see bloodshed. As a matter of fact, in my Volume 1, and I'm not here to advertise my Volume 1. As a matter of fact, if you do not have Volume 1 and 2, you need to get both. And you save yourself $5. But anyway, but in Volume 1, I talk about war, jihad, holy war, by the hand of God. And that's when I mentioned the war of flood. That is how God Almighty, the God of the Bible, flooded the entire earth. And every woman and every man, old and young, baby and infant, and even pregnant woman died, and the baby died inside their wombs. Who did that? The God of the Bible. Why? By the way, you can learn a lot about that when you get to introduction of Volume 2, because what I did not put on Volume 1, I made sure I will put in Volume 2, which is the understanding for the word radical, for the word extreme, for the word fundamental. Three very powerful words. And as I was talking with Dr. John's wife a minute ago, and I said how we in America are making good evil and evil good. We title everything evil as it is good, and you need to have it. You must take it. You must do it. You must use it right now. And the good thing, you don't need to believe in God. You don't believe it to believe in Jesus. You don't need God in the Bible and the Bible in our school. That's exactly what America is. So what did we do with the three words? Fundamental, radical, extreme. When you read the introduction of my book, you're going to get to be educated or re-brainwashed, because they brainwash us in America in the last 20-some years to tell us that these are negative words, bad words. He is a radical. She is extreme. Well, they are in fundamental, and we look at it in a negative way. But shock into my bones, I open your dictionary in English to look at these words, because I know what they mean in the Arabic language, but I did not know how the English speaking people understand this word. Surprise, surprise. Nothing wrong about the word radical. Nothing wrong about the word extreme. Nothing wrong about the word fundamental. As a matter of fact, they're very positive words. But since September 11, we got brainwashed in America. Starts with George W. Bush, the lover of the Muslims, and the Muslims love him too, who actually went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, but at the same time, Muslims loved him more because he gave them America. He killed a few thousand there, and he brought millions here. So why not use him as a useful agent? And he told us, these are the radicals. These are not Muslims. These are radical Muslims. And I know what the word radical means. So I went to the dictionary to find out radical is a good word because our God, the God of the Bible, is radical. Fundamental is the right word. It's a good word because we as Christians are called to be fundamental. Extreme is the right word, and every woman in the world would love to have her husband to be extreme. Extreme in love with her. And as I always say this to the ladies, how do you like your husband who tell you, I love you, sweetheart. You're the best thing ever happened to me. I'm in love with you, and I'll love you all week long. On Friday, only on Friday, I'm going to find another lady to spend the night with her. But the rest of the week, you are my love. You're everything to me. Or maybe once a month, couple days, I'm going to go on vacation with my lover or some other lady I met. And I'm not extremely in love with you, but I am in love with you except two days every month. Or maybe a week every 6 months, I'm going to go on vacation with my girlfriend. What woman would love her husband to say that to her? No, women love their husband to be extremely in love with them. Our Bibles tell us that God is extreme God. He's extreme jealous God to the point if you love your wife or your husband, your children or your mom and dad or anything or anybody more than him, he will not have anything to do with you. He is a jealous God. He comes first. He's extreme God. He's a fundamental God. He is radical God. And because God is that person who he is, how he described it to us, he could not carry sin anymore in this world. That's why he sent the flood. And through the flood, the whole world was wiped out. What about the children, Brother Usama? What about the innocent babies and all this? Yeah, for such as these are the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you keep going with my book in volume 1, not volume 2, you read about jihad of fire. God Almighty used the fire to burn five cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, the biggest two. And in these five cities, there were lots of children. There's a lot of young and old, innocent and not innocent. And they all burned to the ground. Only Lot and his two daughters and his wife, the rest of his family, were burned into the fire. Why God did that? Because God is extreme, because God is jealous. Well, what about the innocent children? How in the world you tell me that the true God, a loving God, who burned little children? Don't be so much compassionate for these little children, please. Learn first before you start opening your mouth defending the little children. These children were offered as a sacrifice by their own mom and dad. They were burned to the false gods of the cities. So don't tell me that you're more compassionate than God. As a matter of fact, God did them a favor because God let them die young to such as these are the kingdom of God. What they mean by that? All those who die before the age of understanding, if it was in the flood of Noah, if it was in the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, if it was by the sword of Moses and Joshua and the following judges and the following kings, all the little ones, when they died, they made it to heaven. For such as these are the kingdom of God. Because God is a just God. He's not going to judge innocent children who did not know anything about sin, but send them to eternity in hell. Because the reality is this, Christy. Death is real. Physical death is resulting of spiritual death, and that's not the end of it. Eternal death is even worse. Why? Because in eternity, we will spend eternity, no end, forever and ever and ever in a place that's called hell if we do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What I emphasize on in my book, Volume 1, that most Muslims or most, what do you call these, people who do not like Christianity, atheists, agnostics, there is a word I use for them in the Bible, in my book. Anyway, whatever this word is, it's not in my head right now. Those who try to find something wrong in the Bible, the skeptics, most skeptics, they only look at passages in the Bible where Joshua killed, where Moses killed, the infidels, the bad people, the Amorites, the Hittites, which, by the way, is very clear. I talked about it in my book, and I gave a whole chapter about it, that these people given 400 years of grace to do what is right.
Yes.
God told Abraham, Genesis 15, I will give you all this land. God told Abraham in Genesis 18, not now. Why? Because he said the sins of the Amorites is not full yet. So God waited 400 years for these people to repent, and they choose not to. But what the skeptics and Muslims forgot, that the God of the Bible is not a God who treats his Jewish people different because these are my people. Other people, the Amorites, the Hittites, and all these type people, wipe them out. But my people, that's okay. No, God is not a respecter of person, which means he, as much as God allowed Joshua and Moses and Caleb and the following judges to kill the bad people who had 400 years of grace to do what is right, and they did not, he also judged his own Jewish people. And there are plenty of stories in the Bible, the true account, not the made-up story, the real account I talk about in Volume 1, where I show there that God judged his own people, the Jewish, harshly, more than that which happened to the Gentile by their hand, because they sinned against God. Sometimes one guy sinned, Achan, kept from what is forbidden. And God said that when you go to Jericho, destroy it completely. Nothing come out of it. No spoil of war. And guess what? Achan kept something for himself. A little bit gold, a little bit silver, and some nice piece of cloth. He kept for himself. And because of that, they lost in the battle, in the next battle. And God's judgment was severe on Achan and his family, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, his animals, his donkeys, his cows, his everything. Well, guess what? They stone them and they burn them. And that is according to the judgment of God. Sin is sin, and the punishment of sin is death. That's why we have sin in the Bible, in the Old Testament. All this did not change when we went to the New Testament. Because believe it or not, when we read jihad in the New Testament, we find it is the same. The God of the Old Testament is the same the God of the New Testament. But instead of he punishing me today for my sin, he chose to punish his own son. What kind of God who allows the earth to be flooded? What kind of God who allows Sodom and Gomorrah and the next three cities to be burnt to the ground? What kind of God who will allow his people to go and kill the Amorites and the Hittites? What kind of God who will kill his son for me? At least all of these wicked people, they were sinful. They deserve to die. They deserve to spend eternity in hell. You and I, Christy Johnson, and even Dr. John, and everybody who talked to us today, and those who listen to us today, all of us have sinned. And the wages of our sin is death. We all deserve 100%. I can talk about myself. I deserve 100% or maybe 110% to spend eternity in hell. But guess what? God killed his own son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God who became flesh. I talk about the sacrifices of the Old Testament, why God ordered his people to offer sacrifice all the way from Adam until Jesus Christ, who was offered on the cross of shame and sorrow as a substitute sacrifice to us by the Father. What kind of God is that to put his son to die on the cross for our sins? A true 100% human, a true 100% God, he came to take a flesh like you and I, without sin, to die the cross for our sins. And that is the beauty of the most holy jihad. I call it in my volume one. Why? Because there we've been set free, and there we became righteous because Christ took our sins and gave us his righteousness. And that's the only way for anyone to get to heaven. I talked about the sacrifice of the Old Testament was simply a piece of paper, a check. That check does not have any value unless there is a money in the bank. Jesus Christ was that money in the bank. The offer sacrifices from Adam until Jesus' days for the hope that there is a Messiah is coming, whom John the Baptist looked at and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who will carry away the sin of the believers of the New Testament. No, the sin of the world. Those who offer sacrifice in the past by faith, and us today, we look back the last 2,000 years and we say, thank you, Jesus, for being the sacrifice, for being a substitute to die on the cross for my sins. And that's how we can be saved in the New Testament. No more Old Testament sacrifice, because when the real fulfillment of that sacrifice came, Jesus Christ, we no longer need the cow or the sheep or the dove or any pure animal. This is the picture or the story of Volume 1. Now, Volume 2, which I was supposed to write before Volume 1, came later, 2 years later. Now, praise God, it's in print. And in Jihad, in the Quran, I talk about all the hogwash propaganda Muslim teaches. Even so many of them make videos in America. I use that video in depth in that book. It's called Islam, A Faith Hijacked. That is the name of the DVD made by Muslims in America to help the American people after September 11th to understand that this has nothing to do with Islam. No, this is the first drop from Islam in America. There are plenty of buckets of water that are going to be dumped on this country. And that is the first drop of water, the first fruit of Islam in America. Sadly, because when the Muslim will do their final jihad, as I talk about it in my last chapter of this book, you will realize here is the blueprint. Here is what Muslims said they will do, and that's exactly what's coming to America. It's a big book, Christy. I'm not going to cover it tonight. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but we can talk about it in the future. But boy, oh boy, let me look at some of the chapters' names. I'm not going to be able to talk about all of it because I talk about the origin jihad. I talk about the house of peace and the house of war. I talk about Islam, peace or submission. I talk about Muslim terrorism in the West. I talk about Islam and the relationship with Jews and Christians. That's a powerful chapter. Man, the opposite of what these wicked liberal churches in America and the wicked liberal Jews in America, they're all Democrats. What unites the Muslims and these Jewish in name only and Christian in name only, that they're all Democrats. They all worship the same God, the God of Islam, Allah, Satan. Anyway, I talk about the deception of CARE, the Council on America Islamic Coalition, one of the great Muslim Brotherhood jihadi organization in America. I talk about militant Christian fact or fiction, because so many people talk about the militant Christians. You know, they're radical Christians and they're radical Jews and they're radical Muslims. I say, wow, I love to see a radical Christian, Christy Johnson. I love to see a radical Christian to compare to the radical Muslim. Because as a Christian radical, I must love my enemy. I must give them food when they're hungry, give them drink when they're thirsty. As they are cursing me, I must bless them. Why? Because I'm a radical Christian. The son looked like the father. And Jesus taught us, when you do that, you become like your father who is in heaven. You see, the God of the Bible, who is so radical in his judgment to sin, he's so radical in his love. As much as he's extreme to punish sin by death, he's extreme in his love to give his son to die on the cross for a simple, wicked man like me. That is the God of the Bible. And he is radical. He brings his sunshine on the evil and on the wicked and the rain on all America. And I don't believe that in America, I don't believe we have 10% in America deserve what the weather we got today. If we deserve some kind of thing in America, when we deserve the fire of California or the drought of some rivers when break on a hurricane, that's what we deserve. But God is so gracious. God is so merciful. And if you talk about militant Christian, well, trust me, I got plenty to share about militant Christian when I compare to the militant Muslim. The problem is not in the word radical. The problem is what the radical is practicing. a radical Muslim practicing the Quran, which teach him to behead the Christian and the Jews. A radical Christian who practices the Bible, which teach him to love his enemy and to pray for those who are persecuting him and to bless those Christians. That is the difference between radical Christian and radical Muslim. But the word radical itself, nothing wrong with the word radical. Because look it up in the dictionary. Or just get my book and read the introduction. And you'll learn new information. You'll be shocked in your bones to know there's nothing wrong with the word radical or the word extreme or the word fundamental. How about chapter 8? Muslims, victims of hate and discrimination. In America, after September 11, Mr. Bush opened the door for Muslims to cry out, I am victims of your hate. I am victims of your radical reaction to what happened September 11. September 11 has nothing to do with Islam or me, and I am innocent of that, and you are victimizing me. And believe me, Christy, I put so much in that small chapter. It will open many people's eyes. Because believe me, if what happened in America, and I say it, and I said it before, and I repeat myself, if what happened in America ever, ever happened in any of one of the 57 Muslim countries in the Muslim world, just use imagination, Christy Johnson. 19 Christian young men went to Egypt, and they took two buildings and killed 3,000 Muslim Egyptians. 19 Christians killed 3,000 Muslim Egyptians. You know what the reaction would be?
Not good.
How about no Christian, no longer have a Christian in Egypt, nor in Libya, nor in Sudan, nor in Jordan, nor in Syria, nor in Afghanistan, nor in Pakistan, nor in Morocco, nor in Algeria, nor in Mauritania, nor in Somalia, nor in Kenya. I mean, you're talking about Christian would be wiped out in 57 Muslim countries. Now we ask the question, how many Muslims was killed in America after September 11? Talk about in my book here about who will really benefit from September 11 in the world and in America. Only Muslims. Now we're teaching our children in our public school, Islam is love, Islam is peace. Why? Because the useful idiot, George W. Bush, who spoke about the radical Muslims and the good Muslims, gave the blessing to the Muslims to educate our children. And we talked about that, you and I, we work hard in this presentation, lies in the textbooks. Since 2002, 2003, until today, we're teaching hogwash Islam in America for our children, and many of them right now who used to be in high school when they start learning about the loving, peaceful Islam, some of them are maybe congressmen and senators in America.
Yes.
Who knows what the future will hold for America? But many of our people in America have been brainwashed. Why? Because Muslims benefited from September 11. How about the number of Muslims in America? Quadrupled. How about the number of mosques in America? Quadrupled. How about important jobs in America given to Muslims in all different branches, in all different jobs, in all, everywhere you turn right or left, there's a Muslim. For heaven's sake, Barack Hussein Obama is the president of the United States of America 7 years after September 11th. And he appointed
John Brennan
as the head of CIA. So you got the head of CIA, and we loaded our FBI with Muslim jihadi extremists, radicals. The Muslim who attacked us on September 11 worked for us in the FBI just a few months after September 11. I'm not shocked anymore about you telling me anything about what Muslims request or demanding in America, because we, the stupid American, gave them America after September 11. I mean, literally, I used to fly. I used to walk to the airport, and with respect, and Mr. Dakdok, welcome to whatever, Delta, welcome to American Airlines, welcome to whatever the flight. Now, when I go to the airport, guess what? I take my shoes off and take my jacket off, and I take everything out of my pocket off, and I take my belt off, and soon they're going to make me go naked to make sure that I'm not a jihadi. By the way, a Muslim lady in the hijab will not be treated like me. Somehow, they did not like me because I'm Usamadak, whatever reason it is. But what I'm saying is American people lost their freedom. American people lost their respect. American freedom, people lost everything is good, while Muslims are gaining the same things which we are losing. The voice of conservative American is gone. Slowly will be wiped out. And Muslims will be our doctor. They will be our teacher. They will be our policeman. They will be our congressman. They will be our senators. They will be our mayor. They will be our state of attorneys. They will be our president. They will be in everything they want. Why? Because that's exactly what liberals did to this country. Started with George W. Bush, the liberal. Because believe me, Christy, if it was not for George W. Bush, we would never have seen Obama in the White House. We needed, at this time, somebody I don't know, who's conservative, Reagan maybe, somebody like Thomas Jefferson maybe, because trust me, if Thomas Jefferson was in the White House, he will clean America very well, and he will wipe out the Muslim of Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. He will do the real bomb, the atomic bomb, which I am against, by the way. Anyway, so the book is big, loaded with many. By the way, when we talk about war, Christy, I took the Quran chapter by chapter. So I talk about war in Quran chapter 1, war in Quran chapter 2, war in Quran chapter 20, chapter by chapter, where I read the verses and I give the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. I use Al-Tabari a lot in my first two volume books, Revealing the Truth about the Quran, the Revelation of Error. I worked with Ibn Kathir, the Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. In this last book, Jihad, I used Al-Tabari a lot. But I also use Ibn Kathir sometimes.
Yeah, but you're saying you worked with Ibn Kathir. No, Ibn Kathir, you didn't personally work with this person.
I used his commentary.
Yeah.
His commentary. I talked about jihad, Christy, I got the 26th verse in the Quran where Allah mentioned jihad. And once again, I used the commentary and the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. And boy, oh boy, Christy, trust me, when you finish these 370 pages, your brain will be smoking. You'll have smoke come out of your nose and your ears, and you'll have literally, you have to be healthy. I advise you, before you read this book, check your blood pressure, because your blood pressure will go real high. Most likely we'll pass 350 if there is number of 350. So make sure you take your blood medication to lower your pressure before you start reading that book.
I don't take blood pressure medication, but thank you in case someone needs that advice. But I do want to also say that I really appreciated your dedication. You know, you dedicated this book to Phil Haney. And
I have to.
Why don't you, Christy?
Go ahead, sister.
No, I'm saying, why don't you let anyone who doesn't know who Phil Haney is, just tell them who he is, because you dedicated this book to him.
Sure. Brother Phil Haney is a godly Christian, humble man. I met with him just a few years ago. He used to send me some material so I can translate for him from Arabic to English. And he came by my house in his final trip as he left Washington, D.C., and he was heading back to his family in California. He parked his RV in front of where I'm sitting right now. He stayed with me a couple of days. He spoke in Michigan, different places, for a couple of 3 days, came back, took his RV, and traveled to California. I talked with him one time on the phone. That was a week before he was shot and killed, I believe, by the Muslim Brotherhood or by Obama's people. Only God knows. The COVID-19 came and covered the story, and we no longer. First, they tried to make it as a suicide. Of course, we did plenty of shows with Brandon House and others where we exposed the lies, and we turned it to a homicide. But then the kids died, and we will never know who killed Phil Haney.
Yes, but I also want people to know about his career. He wasn't just any friend of yours.
Oh, no.
He was the first in the Department of Homeland Security. And as he was appointed into the Homeland Security, that began his investigation on terrorism. And he was under George Bush when they established Homeland Security and had a stellar, outstanding record. He testified before Congress many times about Islam, about what was going on with Islamic terror, and
He was a whistleblower for all the Muslim brotherhood who work under Obama. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, but he also, that was the problem, and that's what I wanted people to know, why we believe he was murdered. He had reported on he was following like 300 different cases involving Islamic terror. And when Obama came in, all of his files, they deleted. They got rid of Soleimani and didn't need him anymore. And that's when he began to understand, you know, the conflict that was being brought against him, probably by our government and people within the CIA and the FBI.
Let me read this dedication, if you don't mind, Christy. My dedication goes like this. To my dear friend that I traveled with, spoke with, and prayed with, a brother who saw the truth about Islam and then spoke with boldness. We may never know who killed him, but we know why he was killed. May we all be inspired by his life of humility and love towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his devotion to his wife and his great country. Unless I see you again in glory. I'm sorry. Until I see you again in glory, my friend Philip Heaney, Usama K. Dakhil. I could not find any person better than Brother Phil to dedicate this work for. And I hope and I pray as people will read this book, they'll understand why Phil was killed. That is the only eye-opening I believe we can bring to the American people to realize that he was not killed in vain. He did what is right, and I am honored and I'm proud to be his friend, as he always called me, my friend.
You know, Phil Haney was, I'm glad you captured who he was in that dedication. He was a very humble man. You know, I talked to him on the phone several times about things, you know, like if he was going to come on the show with us. A very humble person, and he really loved Jesus, and that was the thing that he hung on to. You knew that whatever else he was dealing with, whatever else had come against him, it never took away from his love and commitment to Jesus, and he shared the gospel with other people and just delighted in being able to help Muslims or anyone else to come to the Lord. And I know that you and Phil spent a lot of time with Annie Cyrus, and I know that he ministered to her, and you did as well, and Annie really loved him and was really, it was really
very,
heartbreaking
very godly
to lose
ministry.
Him.
Very, very humble.
Yeah.
Well, our time is almost up, Christy, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about my book. I hope that you enjoy reading it and maybe can prepare some questions for future broadcasts where we can hit on some of the chapters. And don't give me hard questions because unless you give me the question a little bit earlier.
Well, I want you to tell people how they can get the book because, you know, we talk about your material and your DVDs and your books, and then we forget to tell them how to get them. So I want you to let them
know. It's very easy. You go to our website, thestraightway.org. thestraightway.org. I'll advise you to get a couple copies, one for you and one for somebody else. Christmas is coming, and I think that's a great gift. You may think a dress or a box of chocolate or a perfume or a shirt or a pants or something will be better than that book, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wasting your money of whatever you're going to buy for your friends and your family members. Maybe this time we'll make it a book which bring education, which will last for as long as we still exist in this world and this country. Because that book is very good for us Christians, and even if you give it to some Muslim man or woman who will read it, if he or she is sincere and they will investigate what I put in that book, for sure, they will give their heart to Jesus, as you see this in the end of the book, and we give the invitation for people to give their heart to Jesus. So, same as with every other book I have, I always present the truth and then present the most important truth, Christ himself, for them to accept him as Lord and Savior. So the book is available on our website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. As a matter of fact, just tonight I was talking to a friend of mine who's going to make it audible so you'll be able to hear it. We're going to record all my books, sound, MP3, where you can download it and listen to the book. If you would like to travel or you would like to listen to books, it's going to be
awesome. Another
great subject. It will take a long time. Or you can go to Amazon. I prefer you go to my website. Do not go to Amazon. I'm worried about Amazon. It's going to shut us down anytime. But if you have an Amazon deal and you want to buy through Amazon, it's available also on Amazon. And just keep us in your prayer. Get yourself a copy or two. Read them and share them with others. Give them as gifts for others because we are running short to learn the truth about that book. I wish I wrote that book 50 years ago because it will have more influence on the American people than today. But believe it or not, Christy, when I tried to talk to the American people about what in that book, 21 years ago, before September 11th, American people were shaking their heads, how extreme and how radical and how evil, hateful person I am. So it's just God's timing. It's just God's timing.
Yeah, that's the truth about my book as well. You know, people didn't want to hear about certain things that might come in America, but you see, the fact is, it's still true. Truth is still truth. So this is a time, you know, to be educated, to stop listening to Christians who are telling you Muslims worship the same God we worship. It is not true. Please, and this will open your eyes. Also, your first volume is also excellent. So that two-volume set, Revealing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, and Revealing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran. If you read those two books, I'm telling you, you're going to have a knowledge of the Bible you didn't have before and certainly understand more about Islam and why we need to reach the Muslim people for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. They need him.
And our
Amen.
Time is up. Christy,
it
thank
is.
You so much. Appreciate you producing this great show and having your guest, Dr. John, and I pray for blessing all of you who are listening to us right now. God bless you. Keep us in your prayer. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place here. And our broadcast. Thank you so much, Christy. You have a wonderful good night.
Thank you, Usama. Thank you to our guests, and God bless you all.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven. but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.